5. Matthew chapter 5. I guess that may have not ever even been on, huh? That's just as well, me leading singing. Matthew chapter 5, this is the famous Sermon on the Mount, if you want to call it that, and different things about the Scripture and Beatitudes and stuff like that it's called. But we're going to be on verse 13, Matthew 5, 13. Matthew 5, 13. Thing seems like it's loud. The wireless may be kind of high, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm touching it. Don't touch it, huh? 5:13. He just does that so he can record in case I move around. If we put everything on the computer. Okay, Matthew 5:13. Ye, there's that plural word again. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask as we read these scriptures, they'll encourage us and challenge us and let us be a light for you in this world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many times when I think about this phrase, I think about when they asked John the Baptist who he was. If he was Elijah, or if he was that prophet, or if he was Christ. He said he was the voice. He said, I'm a voice. And I think that was a great privilege to be a voice for Jesus. And you don't have to be a preacher or a teacher to be a voice for Jesus. Everyone should be a witness for Jesus. Everyone is in the ministry once you're saved. Now, that means you are working for your master, for your Lord. But as we just heard testimonies of here of how people have had God work in their lives and seen things God does in their lives and how God keeps working in us. Paul, one of the greatest preachers of the Bible other than Jesus Christ, when he came before great leaders, states and kings and governors and Caesars and all of those things, you know what he told them? He told them how he got saved. He gave them his own personal testimony of what God did in his life. That is some of the greatest preaching that there can be, is changed lives. That is one of the great truths of the Scriptures, how they are wholly inspired by God because they change lives. The reality of Jesus Christ is he changes lives. And he changes your lives. He's changed our lives. And he's still working. And he's still working on changing our lives and getting our lives closer to him. There's 1,001 programs out there that guarantee they're going to change you or fix you. But unless there's a change in the heart, there's nothing that's going to be accomplished. And Jesus can change lives because he starts at the root of the problem, which is the heart. The born again phrase that got so popular and got so abused for a long time. But it's still one of the John chapter 3 of when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That is really what happens in a Christian's life. They become a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You are a new creature. You are a new beginning. You are a new person. You have a new start. You have a new thought by the renewing of your mind that you prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have a renewing that takes place. You have a renewing in your heart. You have a renewing in your life. And that manifests itself out around you. And that's why the light is used as an example here in this portion of Scripture. Jesus is the light of the world, as they talked about in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And this light, you are a light. And a light is not made to be hid. A light is not made to be put under a bushel or under a basket. A light is not made to be made dark, to be kept dark. The whole purpose of a light is to light things up so they can be seen and be revealed and be shown forth. Light travels at a little over 186,000 miles per second. It travels very, very, very fast. But the further you get from the source, it tends to get weaker. It is diffused. It is spread out. See, that's the big thing about lasers, is the light is compressed down into something single. So it'll go for a long distance. But light will go on forever. But it gets diffused. It gets separated. The air, the particles, the things around it, it interferes with it. But you know, at home or anywhere else like that, when you turn the light on, you don't have to be right underneath the light bulb to see the light. It reflects off of different things and comes around, and you can still see the light. In the mornings or when you get up in the middle of the night and you flip the light switch on, your eyes hurt for a moment. Because all of a sudden, everything's bright and your eyes have been adjusted to the darkness. Well, that's what happens in people's lives. Their life has been adjusted to the darkness of this world. And when the gospel of Jesus, the light of the world, comes in and shines on their life, it hurts them for a while. And they get adjusted to it. You think of Saul on the road to Damascus when Jesus spoke to him out of the sky after the ascension of Christ, and he spoke to him, and Saul was knocked down to his feet by the light and was blinded for 3 days. They say maybe he never did get all of his sight back. I don't know. But that was an example of the power of God. As he spoke to that man. Where was he headed? To Damascus to persecute Christians and lock them up and put them in prison. That's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. He was one of the ones that was feared and hated by the Christians. And God stopped him. And talked to him and changed his life. You look at that and it says, he told Barnabas, behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. Paul was a proud man. Call him Saul because that was his name before he got saved. God changed his name. He was a proud man. It took a lot to get his attention. It took a lot to humble him. It took a lot to stop him. And it took 3 days, even after all of that, to get his attention. But God did, because God had a plan for his life. And God used him in a great and mighty way. As they talked about here in verse 13, salt. Salt is a preservative. Salt has been used for many ages and many years. Sometimes people even paid with salt back in the older days. And there was a big excursions and big caravans and big things to go get salt. Go to the salt flats. Go get salt. Go to the sea and get salt. It was a very expensive spice, salt was. Because it was so needed and so necessary and so precious to preserve their foods. But you know what else salt does? It opens up the flavors of the food and brings them. So you can taste all of the many things that's in that food there. If you get on a salt-free diet, it sure does get bland for a while, huh? But you know, you put a little salt on something, and it just opens all of the flavors up, and you get just so much more in your mouth, in your palate, and it, and it, and it, And it tastes so much better. See, that's what you are the salt of the earth, it says to Christians. It's talking about you are the preservative for this earth. You look at America. The reason that America is still a nation that it is because there's so many that still stand for God. In spite of everything they're trying to do in government, we're still standing for God. We're still standing behind Israel. And that's one of the reasons that America is still here. You look at the country of England. I was talking to some missionaries and people that have studied a lot of that history. How England was, I mean, most of the missionaries came out of England to start with. I mean, it was a great missionary sending country, England was. And then the churches started getting mellow. They started compromising. Some of the great preachers were dying and drifting away. And he's getting into the world and things and all that stuff. England, we send missionaries to England now. They used to be the one that sent them out. I do not find the United States in the end of the Bible. It is a Mideastern book. But I still don't find the United States. You find Russia. You find China in the olden times. Gog and Magog and the bear. You find those things in there. You don't find the United States in there. I'm not sure what all that means yet. But as when salt is no good, when salt gets to where it is no good, it isn't good for anything except making a road. So it gets hard. That's all it's good for. To be trodden underfoot. Paul said he wanted to stay close to God, lest he become a castaway, not being used of God. If you have a dark room and you have one candle, all eyes turn to that one candle in that dark room. You may be the only candle where you're ministering in your family or something like that. There may be more than one. There may be only a few. You may be a very small light, you think. But God put you there for a reason. Because He needs a light. He needs a testimony. He needs the light of the gospel to be seen where you are. At work or someplace, you may be the only Christian there. You may be the only one in your family or immediate family or what. I don't know all your situations. But God needs that light there to shine. And don't ever be ashamed of your light. Don't ever be. Listen. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. To be seen, to be viewed. Neither do men put light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick. That it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You put that candle up high, where the light can shine around and be seen. Now notice here it says, verse 16, let your light show so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It glorifies God, not you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus and it's about God the Father. Even Jesus said all glory must go back to the Father. And the glory goes back to the Father, not you. You're the candle. You're the wax. You're the wick. But it doesn't come to you. It goes back to God the Father because He's the one. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Like John the Baptist said, I'm just a voice. It doesn't matter who I am. What matters is what I'm telling you about the coming Messiah. That's what matters. And the people around you, the people at work, family, all of those, they will know if you are genuine light or artificial. Are you artificial light or are you the real light? They know. They know exactly who you really are. The moon can light up the whole sky at night, but it has no light of its own. It's just a reflection from the sun. You can light up your corner of the world because you have the light of Jesus in your life. And light reveals things and shines things out. Now, I want us to this good works thing here. We need to camp there just a little bit. I want us to go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Especially verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2. First and second Corinthians, Galatians, then Ephesians chapter 2. Many of you may have memorized verse 8 and 9. But we need to look at verse 10 also. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Talked about that this morning. "And that not unto yourselves, it is a gift of God." Nothing from you. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." See, we're over here in Matthew saying, so people can see your good works. And your glory goes back to God. But it says here, you saved through faith. And grace, it is a gift of God, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't do anything to save your own soul. You can't work your way into salvation. You can't be so good that you get saved or whatever. But look at the next verse. Verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created, born again in Christ Jesus, unto good works." Good works can't save you, but you're created unto good works to do good works. You were saved to do something. You were saved to let your light shine. You're saved to be a salt of the world. You're saved to be bright. You're saved to be shining. You're saved so people can come to the light and hear about Jesus and get out of the darkness. You're saved for a reason. If you weren't saved for a reason, once you bowed your head and accepted Christ, you might as well just die because it's all over with. But you're saved for a reason. "Unto good works," verse 10, "which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God ordained your life as a Christian to serve Him. God set you aside to serve Him. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for everybody's life. And God definitely has a great plan for every Christian's life. And every plan that God has for every Christian's life will bring glory back to God. Not to yourself. Anything that God has for you to do, God will receive the glory. Not you, not me, but God. Because where were you before God saved you? You're on your way to hell. God did it. God changed your life. God turned it around. Give God the glory for what He's doing in your life and be a light. Good works. Sometimes you need to trim your wick. You know the old coal oil lamps? The old wick would get all black and stuff. The light would get dim. The globe or whatever it is would get dark. Couldn't see the light. You have to keep fueling the light. What burns? The wick? The wax? What burns? Where does your fuel come from? The sun is the only thing that makes its own light, and it's burning up. And they say in a million or billion, I don't know what it is, it's going to burn up and collapse and fall on itself and all those things. I mean, it's using up its fuel. But I'm not worried about that. God's got other plans. Hey, these lights don't work by themselves. Candle doesn't work by itself. The only one that works by itself is God. I am that I am, the self-existing, eternal, everlasting one, Jehovah. He's the only one that works by himself. He's the only one that's only self-sustaining. He's the one that's got his own power. He's the only one that endures himself. He's the only one. Not even you. Not even me. He gives you the breath to breathe. And he gives you the lungs to breathe. And he gives you the little brain that makes you breathe. And he gives you the air so you can breathe. That's God. And he puts his light in you so you can shine. They talks a lot in the Bible about countenance, how you look, your facial expressions and how you look. And you know, you can look at some people and you can tell whether you should talk to them that day or not. You know, by the way they look, huh? You can tell that by some people, huh? Well, when God changes a person's life, he changes their countenance. Look, Alistair said, why is the doctor always... He said, why are you always feeling so good when you're dying or you're sick or whatever, you know? Not that she's dying. I mean, don't get rumors here going or something, you know? She's always happy. Hey, there's a reason to be happy. There's a reason to be happy. There's always a reason to be happy. If you look at Jesus. If you look at Jesus. If you're looking everywhere else, no. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, there's a reason to be happy. Because he loves you. And he saved you. And he put his light in you. To shine. To shine. To shine. He wants you to shine. We know this world needs some light in it. This world needs spiritual light more and more and more and more every day. There's going to come a time when there's going to be less and less light shining out there. There's going to come a time when there's not that many lights out there. The darker it is, the more one little light stands out. And it's good to be here. So we're going to have many lights together and get your batteries recharged, get your wick cleaned up, get some oil in your lamp. So you can go and shine some more. Because nothing more the devil wants to do is to put a bushel over your light. To dim it down. To turn the wick down. He wants more than anything to quench that light. You ever thought why there's darkness in hell and yet there's fire too? Did you notice on creation that God made light before he made the sun and the moon and the stars? Hell is dark because there is no Jesus. Look in Revelation about the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city. It says there's no need for the sun or moon or the stars. Not that they're not there. Because the light of the glory of God from the throne lights the whole city. Talk about nuclear power there. He lights up the whole place. You know how big that city is? From the Pacific all the way past the Mississippi. One city. And it's that big square and it's that big tall. Reaches outer space. I mean, you look at Tokyo or Mexico City. Those are huge cities. But they're not as big as 3/4 the size of the United States. That's the New Jerusalem. That's the heavenly city. That's the mansion where the throne of God lights it all. A city likened to an emerald, he said. Rainbow around about the throne. Streets of gold superior you can see through them. Walls of jasper. Set up on 12 foundations of precious stones. There is nothing so beautiful as that. No artist, nobody can ever paint anything as beautiful as that is. It's more beautiful than a rainbow. It's more beautiful than living inside of a rainbow. Because it's lit by the perfect light of God who says there is no shadow of turning. I think that also applies to physical shadows too. Because there's nothing between you and Jesus except the crystal city. That is the power of the holiness of God. And that he gives you just a little bit. And his light never gets dim. The more light you share, the brighter your light becomes. But you got to share it. Got to let it shine. You got to expose Jesus to those around you. And they will see your good works. They will see your life change. They will see an honest person. They will see someone that has changed. You'll change the music you listen to. You'll change the programs you watch on TV. You'll change the things you do at the computer. You will change the way you talk. You'll change everything about your life because God lives there. And he changed you. And they'll see that change and say, something happened. Now listen, if there's no change, you're missing something there. Because when Jesus lives in a person's life, he changes their life. He cannot live in someone's life and not change it. That is an impossibility that is contrary to the Word of God. He will change. So let it shine. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have the time of invitation. See what God would have for you to do. What God's talking to you about. What God wants to burden you about. I don't know. As always, we always ask. If there's someone here that's not saved. If they're not certain about your salvation. If you want to get that right today. This is the time to do it. We never assume that everyone is saved. But those of you that are saved, you need to let your light shine. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for your precious word and the promises and assurances and the guidance and the encouragement that you give us. God, let us serve you with our utmost. We ask this in the name of Jesus.